Hashem, we should cover Simin Reish Lamed Zayin that deals with Onim Apik v'Charara. It's a new topic. It really doesn't have shaykes to Onim Apik toys directly, even though it's under the klal. Mechaba puts it in Reish Lamed Zayin under this sugya, the inyonim of Onim Apik toys. The Pasuk in Yiv says, "Lamas mireo chesed." If you deny from your friend a chesed, Yiris Shaka Yazov, and you're forsaking the fear of heaven. What does that mean? The Yishami brings down this pasuk here in Kedushin on the union of Onim Apik v'Charara, and the Pnei Moshe actually learns it's referring to Onim Apik v'Charara. It means the following: Lamas Mireo Chesed. If you take from your friend, Pnei Moshe says, Shunaitu Mireo Chesed Vaschus She'inu Liyodai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made destined to come to your friend, and you deny your friend of that chesed, Yishaka Yazov, you're going to be called a Rasha, Shanikra Rasha. That is the concept of Onim Apik v'Charara, Bo'achav Anotlo is Nikra Rasha. What does Onim Apik v'Charara literally mean? You have an Oni, could be only a point, an example, who's got casting about looking for a Charara, and someone else goes ahead and takes it. Intercepts, he comes, interferes with his ishtablus, and he comes and he takes it away and he buys it for himself, or he picks it up for himself, and he denies the rishon of this, we'll call it now a chesed, of this charara that was destined to come his way. He denied the rishon of that chesed, he's considered a rasha. And we're going to discuss many halachas, where it applies, where it's not. That's really the simon. Primarily, the simon is a short simon. It only has two sifim, but there's a lot here. There's a lot of tshuvas, and I would like to cover it in tonight's session. So, please, let's go easy on the questions. Like he said, I'll take the questions after the sif. Let's start the mechaba. Actually, you know what? It'll be probably best off if I first tell you over the gemara. The gemara is a short gemara. It's a story, and I'll read you the gemara, and then we'll start the mechaba. The gemara is in Kedushin Daf Nun Tesamer Aleph. And the story goes as follows. If Gidul have a mahabik bahi ara, if Gidul was looking, trying to buy a certain piece of land, also Rabbi Abba and Zovna. Rabbi Abba went ahead and interfered with Rav Gidul and he purchased it for himself. So Rav Gidul was upset. What did he do? Also Rav Gidul kivli l'Rabbi Zera. He went and complained to Rabbi Zera. And also Rabbi Zera v'kavli l'Rabbi Yitzchok Nafka. And then Rabbi Zera in turn went to Rabbi Yitzchok Nafka to complain that what went on here, the l'chari was a ma'is of Onim Apik v'Charara. Amalei, don't worry, hamtin ashiyale etzlinu l'regel. Wait till he comes and visits me by Yontif and I'll discuss and I'll find out what exactly took place. Kisalek, when he went up for Yontif, Ashkechei, he saw him, he met him, Amalei, and he asked him an innocent shayla. Onim Apik v'Charara, if an oni is looking for a charara, bo'achav anotlo, and someone else comes ahead, v'notle hemen, and takes away from him, gets there before him, mai, what's the halacha? Amalei, nikra rasha, avadi is considered a rasha. So now he said, if you hold that, it's a nikra rasha, v'la mar, but you, mar, my time of it, hachi, so why did you do that to Rav Gidda? Rav Gidda was there and trying to get the field, and you went ahead and purchased it before him. What were you doing? Amalei, lo havi yadana. I didn't know. I wasn't aware that Rav Gidda was there before me. I wasn't aware that Rav Gidda was trying to purchase that piece of land. So I'm shaking. I didn't know, and that's why I did it. You can't have a tain on me. So he said to him, "Abahashta nami nesanelimar." Indeed, you're right that at the time of the sale, you weren't aware that Rav Gidda was there first. But now I'm telling you, now I'm letting you know that he was there first. You should give it back to him. Means even though he had already, Rav Abba already purchased it, he was trying to ask him to give it back and to correct, to amend what he did, to give it back to Rav Gidol. Amalei, Zvuni lo mazavanino lo, I cannot sell it to Rav Gidol. Why, the Araka Maisi, it's my first deal that I purchased, v'lo mesamna milsa, and it's not a good simon if I go ahead and now sell it away. I buy something and then just sell it without a profit. It's not a good simon for what lays ahead of me in my business. Iboi, however, if you want, I'll do even better. B'matana nishkale. I'll give it to him b'matana. That apparently is not a problem. That's not an ominous simon to his business practice. If you want, I'll do better. I'll give it to Rav Gidol b'matana, and this way he won't have any tainus on me. Now, Rav Gidol onochas, or Rav Gidol didn't want to accept the matana. Tichsiv v'sani matana sichya. And Rabbi Abba onochas, and Rabbi Abba didn't want to take it, mishum dohapik bar Rav Gidol, because now he found out Rav Gidol was there first. L'mar nochesla, v'l'mar nochesla, neither one wanted to go into the field. U'miskaya arz rabbona, what happens when you have such a situation? Of course, it's going to turn into a yeshiva. They parked themselves. They'll tell me to move the sky Arad Rabbanon and turned into an Arad Rabbanon. So here you have a story that Rebbe Gidlu was mahapach. He was negotiating on a deal to purchase a piece of land. Rebbe Abba went ahead and purchased it before him, closed the deal before him. And the halacha is that even though Rebbe Abba was unaware, L'chayr should be on a map of Charara, but Rebbe Abba claims that he was unaware. Nevertheless, they asked him to give it back. He refused because it was a bad simen, but instead he decided to give it away by Matana. Basically, it's the same thing as if he gave it back to Rebbe Gidlu. That's the Gemara. There's a Machlekes, so you say this to Machlekes, Rashi and Tosis, what's Pshat in the Gemara of Ani Hamhabit B'Charara? What is the classical example of Ani Hamhabit B'Charara? Rashi says, Ani Hamhabit B'Charara means literally an Ani is walking in the street looking never for bread, for Charara is a biscuit, a cookie, and he sees a biscuit on the floor and he's about to go ahead and take it and so on heads and grabs it before him. That's Ani Hamhabit B'Charara. It's talking about something which was Hefka. You could have a case, Rashi gives another example, Shitnenu lo Balabais, he's going maybe to Shnora, he's going to ask around for Balabais to give him a matana, also a form of like hefka, it's a matana, something, a freebie, and someone else chaps before him and takes away that charara. Taisa doesn't like that, Rabbi Natam disagrees with Rashi, and he says that it can't be that something which is unique, something which is free, a windfall of a find, should be Anamah B'Charara. Because he said, the side of Anamah B'Charara is, why are you coming and interfering with me? Go somewhere else. Get this Charara somewhere else. So he said, Bishloim, if it's a case of a Mecca Chomemkam trying to buy a property, so then you could tell me, go somewhere else, find the next property, the other property is for sale, go the next block, two blocks over, whatever it is. But when you have something hefka, what are you going to tell me? Go down the next block and find a biscuit? Laughed off. If you see a $10 bill on the floor, you're going to say, go to the next block, there'll be a $10 bill. It's not there, it's a freebie. And if there would be there, maybe I want both $10. It could be on your map of Charara, could only apply L'chayr by Mecca, Chomemka. Taisa suggests that could be the case of Schiris, that the person was trying to land a position and the charar would be his paycheck and so knows, takes the opportunity and gets the job for himself. So in such a case, a Mecca Chomemko or an opportunity, there I can tell you, don't go here, try to get a job somewhere else. But if something which is free, like Hefka and Matani, he says it would be unfair to tell me to go somewhere else because I can't get this thing, it's unique, I cannot get it somewhere else. So it's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, when something is free, Hefka, or unique, which is like Hefka, is there a din of Ani Hamavik B'Charara. Okay, let's start the Mechaber, it's in Reish Lamazayit, and we see that the Mechaber brings down actually both Shitas. If someone's going after, he's trying to purchase something, or to rent something, it's irrelevant, which is Lukhari is Mavun the Gemara. If Gidl's story was by Karka, Charar is Matatal, and both are Mavun the Gemara. Or Ba'ach, and someone comes along and interferes, Vekanoi, and he purchases it for himself, the second party is Nikra Rasha. It's called a Rasha. What does it mean? He's called a Rasha. So the Smart points out, on Machrizin Olav Bebeis HaKnesses, Shalasa Maisa Rasha Kezeh. You can clap boys in a bima, in the middle of davening, and say that this person is a Rasha. However, the Rishonim HaMavur, the way we pass in is a Rabbeinu Tam, not like that, but the way we pass in is that if someone actually went ahead and was Oiva Animak B'Charara, there's nothing more than he's considered a Rasha. It means you cannot now be Moitzi the field from him. Even though Rabbi Abba took it, we could ask Rabbi Abba to give it back. If he refused, he would be considered a Rasha. But you cannot force, it's not actionable in Beis Din, to force him to give up the property. But he's considered a Rasha nevertheless. This is a Machlokes HaPoskim. Many are of the opinion that before he went ahead and did it, the Beis Din is supposed to get involved and prevent him from doing a Ma'isa Rasha. They're supposed to be kai for him and not to get involved. They see someone about to do a Ma'isa Rasha, like on Yom Ha'avuch, they're supposed to stop him. But if he did it already, it's not actionable. He's considered a Rasha, but he's not mechuyev to give it back. It's his. He can do whatever he wants with it, theoretically. Now, Kuzok to Mechaber continues, V'hu adin, not only by a case of Mekach, and not only a case of Schiris, we want to rent something, V'hu adin, l'reitzat l'haska atzmei etzal acher, if you would like to rent yourself out. Which is a case like Tosfos brought down, if you'd like to get a job and you're trying to be hired and someone else will come ahead and take the position, he'd be considered a Rasha. So you have three cases, either Mekach, Schiris, or like a, where you're being masked yourself, like a Schiris Pailam type of a situation. And all three, the din is, Anamapik B'Charara, or Ba'ach of a Nutla, is Nikra Rasha. what's going to be with Hefker Matana? Here comes the Machaber, he brings on the both sheets. The Yesh Oimrim, which is the first sheet, is the sheet of Taisis. Shembo Liskeis Behefker, in Machaber Matana Miacher. If you're trying to get from Hefker, you're trying to receive a present from somebody, or Bo Acher the Kodmai, and someone else interferes and gets it before you, Einoi Nikra Rosh. He's not considered a Rosh. Why? Kivan She'enu Dova Hamotile B'Mokam Acher. Since it's not normally found somewhere else, it's something unique, so you can't tell me go somewhere else. I cannot find it somewhere else, so the halacha is not applicable. The only time you say on a map of Harar, if it's something like a Mekach or Memkar, where you can go buy it somewhere else. But if it's unique, if it's a windfall of a buy, there we don't hold. And if I would just skip over the Ramah for a second, Machabe says, V'yesh Oymim Deloishneh. And then he brings down the Shittas Rashi, V'yesh Oymim Deloishneh, that no, that it's irrelevant, Sai doesn't make a difference, Sai Mekach or Memkar, Sai Hefka and Matona, you will be considered a Rasha. So Machabe, in this respect, in this Inyan, he brings down both sheetahs, the sheetahs of Rabbeinu Tam, that it's permissible, and the sheetahs Rashi, that it's also. It's Mavur, I mean, just to continue on that Ramah, just continue after the Yechem Doloshneh, so after Ramah, go, Vesvara, Yishayna, Nira Eka. The Ramah paskins, like the sheetahs of Taisis, by Hefka, Makama, Matona, it's going to be permissible. And the place can bring down, and the Sivis brings down that the Machab and Sif Beis is Mavu like that as well. We're going to see Miyat Hashem. That we pass in, like Rabbeinu Tam, that by Hefka and Makabu Matona, it is permissible, you're not considered a Rasha. So, Meka Adin, it's permissible. The Shulchan Aruch Rav and Igros Moshe point out, and that the reason why the Machab brought down both sheetahs, even though the Ik is Kesvar Yishayna, is to tell you that a Baal Nefesh should be Machmil like Sheetahs Rashi. So even though the Ik is like Taisis, that it's Hefka is permissible, but we should strive to fulfill the opinion of Rashi, the second sheet, and say that even by Hefka we're going to have a problem, and we should stay away. All right, now let's go back to the Ramah before. So, Dr. Ramah, going back on the first sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, that is, that something which is Hefka, Makabu Matana, something which is unique, I cannot get somewhere else. There's no din of Anumak B'Pachara. Dr. Ramah, who adin, Va'koina Karka Meitzach Heveroi. If someone's trying to purchase a piece of land adjacent to Reuven's land, let's say it's talking about a case, Bametzra is complex, and many Yaterim. A simple letter would be, let's say, if the seller is a guy, certain situations, but let's say that would be the case. So if I'm going to try to purchase this karka next door to Reuven, even though, let's say, he cannot have on me, he doesn't have a tain on me, it's Bametzra, but nevertheless, Yochel Bametzra, this Reuven, is a permissible lokadmei v'loknoisa v'lomikri rasha. Why? Because to him, the Havik Mitzia. For him, it's a Mitzia. It's a Maila to have two properties next to each other. In the olden days, we're talking about plowing and harvesting the two karkas together. Obviously, it's going to be better, and that's really the whole umdus of Bamesa in the first place. But even today, if you would like to have a larger piece of land, you can build a larger house, or if you're a builder, you'd like to develop the properties, and it's better if you have more lots, one next to each other. So for that builder, for that person who has this milah of being a Bametzra, even if he doesn't have the halachic right of a Bametzra, nevertheless, he is permissible to jump into the first person. Loit Shitas Rabbeinu Tam means Meikah Din, it's permissible. Again, like Rashi, it's an inna to be machmir, like Rashi, but Loit Rabbeinu Tam, Meikah Din, it is permissible. And therefore, if you are the person who tried to purchase that second piece of land next to Reuven, and Reuven goes ahead and chaps yois, you can't have a tain on him because he has a right to paskin to follow like Rabbeinu Tam, which is Mikra Adin, that it's permissible. Zechter Ma, I'll give you another example of something unique. V'cheinim koina dove echad or bocha veroi v'yuchol l'knoise b'zoyim she'enu moitzi l'knoise kak b'mokam acher. If it's a mitzia, a bargain, not literally mitzia, but a mitzia in the price. Havi k'moy mitzia v'yukol l'knoisei kozman shalei zaka b'yakoina. So too, if you'll have a case where the sale price is so cheap that he cannot get this anywhere else, that is like a dova shalefka. That is unique, that I cannot go somewhere else. So you can't tell me, go somewhere else, and I would not be considered a rosha. I would not be doing an avlo coming here. That is the Shittas Ramah. The Shach points out, in Sifkan Gimel, the Shach points out, and Ramban argues, and says that whenever you have a case of Mekach u'Memkar, even if it's cheap, it was like a loy plug, so to speak, no matter what, it applies the principle of Onim Abed B'Charara. So Machlokes Ramah and the Shach, what would you do in a case where it's a cheap sale? We pass in like the Ramah Lekula. The Avnei Nezer brings down, in Mamish on this Machloikis, he says that we pass them like the Ramah. It's also Mavur in the Mordechai like the Ramah, not like the Shaks Ramban. So Mika Adin again, Mika Adin, if the price would be so cheap that you cannot get this somewhere else, it's a bargain, it would be permissible like Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Not like Shitas Rashi, but like Shitas Rabbeinu Tam would be permissible. Now what's considered something cheap? There's a Chuvus Marek which says that to be considered cheap, it has to be something not subjective, not that you think it's cheap or it looks like a good buy, and a takam probably is a good buy. It has to be something that you know for sure, bevadois, that you cannot get this type of a house for this price anywhere else. It's not enough to assume, it's not enough to think that, well, it's a windfall of a deal, it doesn't come by that often, that's not enough. It has to be something that I know for sure is not matched, it's not comparable anywhere else. Unless you're certain, you don't have this heta of the Ramah to come in when someone else is negotiating on the deal, on the house. We'll get to it in a second. That is in terms of the sale price. What happens if you'll have a house which is, like you just pointed out, every house is unique. Obviously, there are no two houses the same unless they're cookie cutters, but you buy a house, whether the kitchen's on the right, or it's a center hall, or it's a colonial, or whatever, all different styles of houses there are, you probably can get others like that, and l'chari, that might not be such a hakpada. But let's say you'll have a case, it was a Tshuvas Binyamin Zev, and another Tshuva from, I think it was the Tshuvas Hadashin, where this house is considered significantly, or clearly, definitely larger than the other houses in the neighborhood. I would like to live in the 14th Street area, let's say, and this is the largest house in the area. There's no other house that matches it. Is that considered unique? And let's say I have a larger family in Kananur, and I would like to purchase that house. Is that considered unique since there is no other house like that? And they say that's not considered unique. Their lashon is very extreme, but they say that unless it's something, unless it's unique that you cannot, let's put it to an example, let's say it's a six-bedroom house and there are no other six bedrooms, there's only other houses in the area, only five-bedroom houses. So they say that since b'di'eved you could live in a five-bedroom house, then to you it's not a heta for you to go ahead and interfere with this first customer and purchase this six-bedroom house. They say, b'shas atchak, if you could live there, I mean, I guess b'shas atchak, you could live anywhere, but b'shas atchak, if you could live in a five-bedroom house, then you have no heta to say, well, this six-bedroom is unique. If you love, what is it called, the double entranceway, what is it called? When you have you don't have the second floor, you walk in, it's a double entranceway. What? Or something like that. If you love that and you're makbid, but b'di'evid, you could live without it, that would not give you a het to purchase such a house. Now, obviously, the Ramah gives an example of Bar Metzra, and there the Ramah holds that it is a het. So, you know, we might not understand 100% appreciate the mile of a Bar Metzra, but we know that somewhere in between, that a Bar Metzra's mile is so significant that will give him a right. But in terms of houses, that one's more roomy, one has certain miles, and the next house is comparable, even if it's not in that class, but b'di'evit, I could get away living there, then it's fine. If b'di'evit, I wouldn't live there, let's say I'm moving into Lakewood, and I would not live in any other house less than the six-bedroom house, and I can't for some reason, otherwise I wouldn't even move here, then in a chanami, for that person, perhaps you can contend that it's like a Bar Metzra. But otherwise, vivat, you can live somewhere else, b'di'evit, it's not considered unique, it's not considered a metziah. Another halacha I should point out is what happens if you are unaware, which is meisim b'chol yoyim, you're unaware that someone else already is negotiating on the house. And you come in, and then after you already closed the deal, you found out, oh, Reuven was already there before me. Is that a problem? Or could I say that I came in b'shoyging and it's not a problem? Chemdes Shloima says that mibaut b'shas meisim, when I entered the deal, I was unaware that someone was there, then I have no din of Nikra Rasha, and now that I already bought it, it's too late. I mean, we're talking about when I already even closed, it would be too late, and there's no problem for me to stay there. However, the Ranach, and he gets out, by the way, I mean, from the Gemara, Rav Gidl, Rav Abba, Luchar, you see, not like that. Rav Gidl was there first, Rav Abba was unaware that he was there, nevertheless, he had tainas on him, how come you're not giving it back? So he says the Gemara was only Midas Chassidus, Rav Abba was an Amoyer, it was a Midas Chassidus for Rav Abba to give it back to Rav Gidl. But Mika Adin, it would not apply the principle of Onim Ape B'Charar since he was a Shogeg. That is the Shitas Chemdesh Lema. However, the Ranach Chuvas Ranach, Akadmoin, and Ramosha, Egris Moshe, blessed the Chemda Shlema. And he says, Adava Pasha, that even if the person was a Shegeg, that's no heta, that's no excuse. Now that he knows it, knows about it, if he, even if he closed, if he doesn't sell it back to the Rishon, now he's considered a Rasha. And it's Mavul like that in the Rishonim as well, it's Mavul like that in Chuvas Maram Rattenberg, that there's no heta of a Shegeg. We're going to get to it later on in Ramah. Let's just wait off, I'll take questions soon. So there's no het of a shayge. If you were a shayge, but now that you know about it, even after you close on the deal, you'd be mechuyev to give it back. Now, we can't, again, it's not metzin bebezdin. It's not something that's actionable in bezdin. Bezdin can't be metzit from you. However, if you do not give it back, you are a rasha, and yes, you could be, like the Sma says, machrizin olav bebeis haknesses, that he's a rasha. Let's continue with the Ramah, we'll get a little more into it, and we'll address your problem as well. So Nakamot, the Makaber brings down a Makloikis, Rishayim, Rabbeinu Tam, and Rashi, if by Hefka there's a din of Onim Rakbe B'charar. And the Ramah says, Svara Rishayim, Nira Ika, we pass them like the Svara Rishayim. V'afilu L'Svara Zu, and even according to this Svara, means even if you want to be Machmir like Rashi, Rashi doesn't say his Allah in all cases. It's only Dafka Ba'oni. Like Rashi, the example of Oni Amapa B'Chararo was B'Dafka, an Oni. It has to be someone who's an Oni who, if you're going to chop it away from him, he won't be able to afford and get this item somewhere else. Of a Ba'ashir, but if the first person was an Asher, Loi, then Rashi's din would not apply. If it's a Dava, which is a bargain, or it's a Mitzia, or it's Hefka, or if it's like a Bameta type of situation, and the only reason why you want to be machmir is like Rashi, you should know that Rashi sheet is only if the first person was an Oni. But if the first person was an Usher and he can buy this item somewhere else, the Allah of Anim Rabbi Bukhara does not apply. Imloi, unless it's a Dovah She'enu Motli, it's something which is not normal, it's not found easily. The Oz Afilu Ba'asha Mikri Rasha. Then, even by an Usher, it's Mikri Rasha. And they say to address Rav Gidl. Rav Gidl was not an Oni, and a Kaka. They want to know why over there by Rav Gidl is it considered Onim Rabbi Bukhara of Nikar Rasha. So the Rishonim say in Shitas Rashi that Kaka is not so benimtza. It's like a middle gather. It's not rare entirely that it gives you the het of Rabbeinu Tam to be considered Hefka. But on the other hand, it's not a dime a dozen to say that I could step over the guy and say, no problem, you go somewhere else and buy the land somewhere else. It's considered unique, and to purchase a lot, whatever it was, to develop or whatever Rav Gidl needed it for, it was unique enough that even though he was an Asher, it didn't allow, it prohibited the second person from coming in. So if it's a good thing to know, because if we are going to try to be machmir like Rashi, it's only halacha where the first person is an Ani, or even if he's an Asher, if it's a thing that's unique that the Asher can't buy somewhere else. But if it's something that's taka, he can get somewhere else easily, then it would not be considered a problem. Now, what is considered, how vital do you have to be in negotiations to be considered that the first person completed a ma'isa hipoch that prevents the second person from getting in? Zokter Ramah, because Eloi Mari Elokishe Kvar Posku Hadomim Shebenayim. If there's already a price agreed upon between the seller and the buyer. Ve'ein Mukhusarin El Hakinyin, all they needed to do the contracts, the kinyonim, but there's a meeting of minds, then we have a problem that everyone has to stay away. Aval, in Mechusarna Daina Psika. However, if the Psika is still negotiating, this one wants 280, this one's bargaining for 270, Shamaycha Reitza Bekach, Vakoina Reitza Yesa Bezoil, then, Shakhtar Amal, Mutal Acha Luknoizai. It is permissible for someone else to come in. It's irrelevant whether the seller is a goy or the seller is a yid. It's permissible since negotiations weren't finalized, they weren't closed. It's not considered a complete hipok, and the second person is permitted to come in. And this is very important because I would say more often than not, this is the case. People are trying to squeeze the moicha out, and someone cops the moicha, and then of course now he feels bad, he shouldn't have done that. You know, hindsight's always better than foresight, but that would not be a problem of Ani Mapek B'Kharara because the first person did not finalize the deal. Now, the Maram, the reason why the Ramah had to say, Be'enim HaMoich HaAkum O Yisrael, what was the significance? I mean, of course, it's Ani Mapek B'Kharara, who cares what the seller was? The Maram says, because really, Mekadin It should have been the other extreme. Mikra din, it should have been that any time a lokeach offers any price, even if it's ridiculous, on a house, and he starts his negotiations with the seller, at that point everyone should be mechuyev to stay away. When you're going by a charara of hefka, like Rashi, let's say, and you're casting about, and you eye and you spot a charara, you didn't have any negotiations with anybody, and nevertheless there's a halak of anim akbe b'charara. To have a maisi hibuch, you don't need to close any deal with the other party. So how come by when you're buying a house, which of course involves a second party, but how come over there do you need to close the deal? Do you have to have a piece of gdama? And then that the Maram says, because Chazal would never say the dinu anim akbe b'charara on the cheshbon of the moicha. If you're going to say that the halacha is at any time a person gives any bid, that's it, now this house is closed, it's not open to the market anymore, he has to only deal with me, you're going to squeeze the seller, because the seller has no other choice but to accept my price, or he's going to be over the barrel and have to negotiate with me. And since it's on the cheshbon of the seller, Chazal never prevented the second person from coming in. When there's a piece of domim, when the seller got what he wants, what he was looking for, at that point, now we satisfied the seller's interest, we don't have a problem with him, now it's only between the buyers, so then we could say, oh, since you were mishtadal, you have anim akbe b'charara. But Kozman, you didn't satisfy the seller's interest, you didn't give the price that he would settle on or that he asked for, that he wants, at that point, you're going to have a problem, because if I'm going to say anim akbe b'charara, I'm going to be blocking the seller from getting a better deal, and so therefore the Chazal said, no, it's still open to the market, so there's no problem anim akbe b'charara. Now, normally, when we're worried, when we're chosh letakonis hamoicha, like we see by other cases, we're only chosh letakonis Yisrael. We're not chosh letakonis akam. We don't care if the guy gets squeezed. Actually, in I think it's Manchester, rather, they have a rule that if any person wants to buy a house, he has to buy it in Gateshead. It is. You have to buy it through the Rav. So, and the Rav Taka only gives that first offer, and it's a very low offer. And of course, the sellers get squeezed, and the goyim sell the houses for basically about half price. I mean, the second the person buys it, and he would like to flip it to Yisrael, he can make 100% profit on his money. But in a normal market, in a free market, that's not the case. The halacha is not like that. The halacha is that Sayyam Reich Akam, Sayyam Reich Yisrael, unless you have a meeting of the minds, there's no din of Anim Akbe B'Charara. And that's why he has to point out Ham Reich Akam, is because we're not normally Chosh Letakonis Ham Reich, nevertheless here we are. And what is the reason? It's a problem how to understand this, but one thing at least, what we should come out with a Hagdara, the way the Goyin tries to bavon as well, is we should come out with a Hagdara that snapshot that really I was Mahapach, just nevertheless, there's a special heta for the second person to come in. You have to say the Chazawa Magdir, that someone who in a business deal which does involve another party, calls man, you don't have the other party with you, agreeing upon a price, there's no piece of domim, they didn't give you a din hipoch altogether. Some tried to there's a hipoch, but with a heta for someone to come in. They said that when it calls man and involves another party, you did not do a maisa hipoch at all. They didn't give you a shema hapach. And if that's the case, then it's, once they were magdir like that, that's how they made the takana, then it's irrelevant if the moicha was a Yisrael or a goy. They didn't make two takanas and say, well, with a moicha Yisrael, you need a piece of gomim, and with a moicha goy, you do not. They were masakin, they didn't only mapu kharara, only in a case where you have a piece of gomim. And then it wouldn't make a difference with a moicha akum or moicha Yisrael. And the reason why I'm stressing this is because you have very often the following case, and Lachay is telling on this lumbus. Very often you have a case where Reuven is negotiating on a house, and then, let's say he's nearing a deal, but there's still some way to go, and there's no piece of domim, a halachic piece of domim. Comes along Shimon and has a deal, and has a meeting of the minds with the seller and closes on the deal. Reuven finds out about it and now wants to go back to the seller. Is Reuven allowed to go back to the seller? We know that, let's say, Levi, you and I cannot go to the seller because once Shimon had a piece of domim, it's closed, it's no longer on the open market. If we would get involved, there would dinner, it would be a halacha of Anim Akbe B'Charara. But Reuven, one could argue and say, what do you mean? Reuven was really there first. You want to know who was there first? Reuven was there first. Shimon happened to chapa mois and have a piece of domim. But if you want to say, could Shimon tell Reuven, get out of here, I'm there first, that's not true. Reuven is really there first, so maybe that would allow Reuven to continue. Because the only reason why Shimon was allowed to come in the first place, come in the second place, so to speak, even though Reuven was there first, is only because of Takanas Hamoicha. Fine, so that's why you're allowed to come in, the Takanas Hamoicha. But to bounce me out and say that I can't continue negotiating with the seller after you, that's not fair, because really I was the first Mahapach. And as a Shiloh, The Adi Yukim in the Paiskim, there's a Diak in the Chuvish Shevet Halevi, that such a case would be permissible for Reuven to continue. Even though it's also for everyone else to continue, there's a Diak, the Shoyl in the Shevet Halevi suggested that maybe, in this case, Reuven would be allowed to continue. And the Shevet Halevi doesn't address it, sounds like Shtika Kodah to the Shoyl. However, it's Mavur, not like that. It's Mavur in the Nachla Shiva, and many Paiskim, Aksam Soifa and others as well, that it will be considered Onimap and Bukharara. And the way I understand it is Gebayt really on this lamdis, that it's not pshat that really you are mahapak, but they made a special heta for someone to come in, l'takhanes hamayicha, and therefore you could argue, well, I'm really the first one here, so let me continue. Pshat is, a Chazal said, if you did not close the deal and someone else closed the deal before you, you have no right to continue. You have no right to make the next phone call and tell the seller, well, okay, I'm asking to that price. You have no right. You have to now walk away from the deal. Because the way they were magdir it was, you're not considered a mahapach at all. And Mamela, you're a nobody. You're just like the next guy. But the second guy who did close the deal, oh, he's the mahapach. And now if you're going to come along and take it, it'll be a bahak of a not like Vinikra Rasha. That's why I'm stressing it, because it's very negeah. Now, what's considered closing negotiation? It says you need pisak damim. Now, the levels of pisak damim, what does that mean? The Prisha suggests, he said that the minig was like that. There's a shayla how to learn up the Prisha. But the Prisha suggests that even if your mamish didn't close the deal exactly, it wasn't mamish a pisak damim, but you're so close that if no one else would interfere, you would close the deal, then that's considered pisak damim. That's considered as if you closed the deal. If a person is off, and I can't tell you exact numbers, you have to speak to people in the real estate market, but if a person is off on $20,000 on a house, on a $300,000 house, it's not muchach that he's going to close the deal. But if a person is off on a few thousand dollars, and if you'd stay out of there in a couple of days, or maybe that day, he would close the deal, then the preacher feels that that's already, he said that's the minig, that that's considered piece of domain. Now, it sounds from the Prisha, but it has to be something that's not just going to be eventually closed. It has to be something that's going to be closed in a short period of time. You can't string the seller and say, sure, if everyone would stay out for 3 weeks, then the seller would feel desperate and he would come down to and accept my offer. No, that's not what the Prisha means. Prisha means, he said, boy, by yoyma, I forgot the exact question of the Prisha, but it sounds like if something going to happen that day or within a short period of time, then you could say that that's really closing the deal. We always, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's. There's always little negotiations taking place at the end. More to contingent, not more to contingent. When you're going to move out exactly. But by and large, these type of issues, they're nominal issues. They don't really play a role. If someone is very close on a price, they're off on a couple of $1,000s, you know that the deal is going to be finalized. And the preacher holds that that's considered already a piece of dhamma. What happens if you'll have a case where you would like to book a hall? Chasana hall, a conference room, whatever it is, and the owner tells you, let's say it's a date, you want a certain date, and the owner says, fine, I'll give you a couple of days to think about it, and he sort of leaves it in the buyer's lap, he leaves it in the renter's lap. Is it now permissible for someone else to come in? And the Shevet HaLevi is a Chuvish Shevet HaLevi, which says, yes, it is permissible for someone to come in. Because in that case as well, even though they are seriously negotiating about this deal, but kozman, it's not muchach that they're going to close, and not muchach that the buyer, or the rent in this case, is going to close and book that date, then you don't have peace of domain. You do not have a meeting of a mind. It's a suffix. Kozman, it's a suffix. It's an open market, and everyone's allowed to come in. The only time that you can't come in is when there was this closing of the deal. Kozman, there's still a suffix involved that they're not considered a closing of the deal. You have to know how to apply it. For example, we always had this shayla. What happens, you have this very often, you want to sell a house. Well, let me take the extreme where I hold it's a dova pashit. A person makes a contract, and there's a halacha that he has 3 days, attorney review, he has 3 days to back out. You could say, well, since he has the right to back out, so there's no meeting of the minds, and I'm allowed to jump in. Now that the dova pashit, that avad, it's going to be also on your mafik b'charara. Because the fact that he had 3 days for attorney review, whatever the chesh and why they give it, but clearly there was a meeting of a mind. There was already an acceptance of a price even before the contract. Actually, I just heard a lawyer just told me that they just changed the real estate law in New Jersey, that now you don't even need a contract. As long as you have a piece of gum and al-peh, that's already considered contractually binding. Oh, the Adonai, that's what I just heard. But anyway, again, of course, you'll have an attorney's view on that as well, Kol Shekein. But nevertheless, I think it's a Dava Parcha. The fact that they give you an attorney's view is a way to be going with Das, whatever the Cheshbonis are, you have to discuss it with a lawyer, why it came about. I'm not going to get into now, but it's clear that there was an agreement, there was a peace agreement between the two parties, and at that point, it would be prohibited for someone else to come in. But what happens, I want the middle case. What happens if you have a case that you're going to look at a house, everything looks great, you have an offer, sure, whatever it is, 320, no problem, but I need to get an engineer's report to make sure that there's no termites or whatever it is. Do you say that there was a done deal? Or do you say, well, since it really depends on this a report of the engineer, so then it could blive, like, so to speak, this chas in the hall, that, look, I didn't close on the deal yet. I'm not 100% sure, but the way I understand it is that in that case, yes, there will be a din of anim apa b'charar, and I'll tell you why. But one has to be honest with himself. It's not that he's trying to buy time, that he needs to get this engineer's report and still think about it for a couple of days. If it's clear that yes, he 100% wants to buy it, but tonight that the engineer's report comes out positive, that there are no termites, then kapi shmei galia, if there are no termites in this house, and I already want it now. I already have an haskama right now. There's already a piece of dumin right now on this house. But tonight that the attorney's report comes out positive, that's fine. It's not like the casino that I still have to decide. If you'll have a case that I love the house, it's a great house, I really want it, but I want to speak to my parents. Then, in the Hanami, that's like a casino hall, so it means you're not 100% sure you want the house. It means because your parents might guard you otherwise. Then you might have a problem. But if, yes, I want the house, I just want the report to determine something factual that's already in the house, then but tonight that comes out positive, then in the Hanami, you're going to already have a piece of gum in between you and the seller. There are other maysim I should really mention. There's people who even are in the know, so to speak, of the halakha of Anim Abel Charara. They feel that if it's Nikarasha, that's if... Well, let me really preface. I should tell you an important halakha before that. The din of Anim Abel Charara, Ba'achav Anotloi, the Rishonim, the Achronim, the Gdele Achronim HaMedayik, it's Ba'achav Anotloi Nikarasha. That is, Reuven's trying to sell the house, and he has a deal with Shimon, and I come along and I bought in and I interfere with Reuven. That's a problem. However, what happens if, yes, the seller already told Reuven he's willing to sell him the house, but behind Reuven's back, he still markets the house. He comes over to me and says, would you be interested in it as well? Am I allowed to go into the deal? And the Akronim HaMedayik, many Akronim HaMedayik, yes, it is permissible. Because the halacha is, Obo Acha, Anyam Abba B'Charara, Obo Acha V'Notla. Not if the Charara, as it were, would be running after the Sheni. It's only if the second guy is going after the Charara. But if the seller is now going after the Sheni, it would like to get more offers, even though he already said yes to the first party. In Taka, he's going to have a problem, perhaps, of Mechusar Mona, and he'll have his peckle. But in terms of me, with I'm going to be over on your map of Charara, no, I will not, because he asked me to come into the picture. And there's a shiloh amongst Achronim, how to be magda, what the reason is. I'll take the easier reason, and that is that now that we see that even though it's behind the guy's back, he goes ahead and is trying to market it to me, you see that he doesn't have a finalized piece of domain with the buyer, with the first buyer. Because why is he asking me to get involved? So the mere fact that he's asking me to get involved, that breaks, in a way, his first plika with the first buyer, and now we have, again, whatever it is, that takonis hamaika, whatever it is, that he should get the best price. He's no longer satisfied with that price, and therefore, I'd be allowed to get involved. That does not mean, however, that if he already decided to contract it out to Reuven on $300,000 and I'll go ahead and I'll offer $320,000, and then he'll of course listen to me, he's getting a better deal for me. No, that is considered a rush. Because Kozman, he does not take the initiative and ask me to come in. He's satisfied with Etzem. Of course, everyone would like more money. But he was nochus to accept that first offer. I have no hesitation to come in. But if he asks me to come in, because you see that he's already vacillating, already changed his mind, he wants a better offer, then that would be a heter for me to come in. Now, it's Yireisim Elokecha here, especially the brokers know what's going on behind the scene. Who took the initiative, who called whom, it's a very delicate issue, but it's clear in Halacha that if you take the initiative, even though you convince him to want to, and it didn't take much convincing. You know, the domim are the serious, they're the ones who convinced him, that's not going to be permissible. If he took the initiative, then it's fine. And now I'll tell you a meisim that happened very often. People think that, oh, Anu Mavav Karav Barakah and Karashel is him. But if the seller takes the initiative, it's no problem. So I've heard this story many, many times, that I live in a neighborhood and I see a house raised down the block, or even my neighbor, the house is up for sale, and I heard that the seller is contracted out to a certain family, which I'm not begeistered about. So I'll go ahead and I'll get a different friend of mine who I want to live next to me, and I'll tell the seller of my friend. And I already know that the seller, well, it's Nizgala, that the seller already agreed upon a price with the Rishon. Is that a problem? I'm not the buyer, so I'm just a bystander. The buyer, the second buyer, is not going to have a problem because the second buyer was approached by the seller. So you'll have this heta or not. And then that, and people try to use this as the heta. It's a davar pashut that the mashal and mashdam, that if a ba'ach of a nutla is nikar rasha, even though you're doing it for your own benefit, kosher ken kavachoymo, that if you're doing it not to buy it for yourself, but you're trying to get someone else in there, kavachoymo, that this sirso is a rasha. The guy is not doing it for himself. Or maybe he has a side benefit, he wants a certain type of a neighbor, but or a broker, he wants a commission, whatever it is. But madoch, the person who's buying it for himself, is considered a rasha, even though he has what to gain on the whole property. Certainly someone else, a broker or someone else, or a friend or neighbor who tries to tell the seller of another offer, he's going to be considered a rasha. That broker would be considered a rasha. And if it's gala, of course, now the sheni can't involve either, because the seller's not taking the initiative, really he's taking the initiative, and that would be considered a rasha. Let me just fear I saw lock, and then I'll take questions on the sif. Dr. Ahmad, and it's really an isolated halacha. V'yesh misha kosov, Shuchayrim Rabbeinu Geshen, and that's how we paskin. People are unfamiliar with this halakha. Shuchayrim Rabbeinu Geshen Shaloi Lahasek Vu B'schiris Batim Min Akam V'odim B'makam Shanoagu Liskar Ha'ava Min Akam. It's a Shuchayrim Rabbeinu Geshen. If you see that a Yid is renting out an office, let's say a house, like the easiest case, because it could be a shaila otherwise, someone's renting a home from a guy, and let's say his lease is up in January, and I would like to offer to rent that apartment, that home, from January and onward, I would have a problem of a Chimra Rabbeinu Geshem to get in. And that is, even though it's not mukhak that the guy is going to continue, if it's the shtega that a renter normally continues from year to year, then you're going to have a greater problem to address. You can have an onimat v'karara issue, because that's like, the place can point out, that's considered like a piece of domem. If the shteg is that every year there's a minimal increase and it's normal for everyone to stay on, then it's already like there's a piece of domem for the next year and the next year, and you would have an issue of onimat v'karara. However, if it's a suffix, if he's going to continue, and you wouldn't have the problem of onimah b'b'chara to address. Nevertheless, Dr. Ramah, you'll have a new issue to address, and that is a Chaim Rabbeinu Gershon. They wanted to prevent goyim, landlords, from taking advantage of the people who are renting there and try to get always a better deal and squeeze the people who are in there for a higher price. So they made a takana Chaim that no one else is allowed to interfere and get involved, kozman, someone is already renting. Unless you get prior permission from the renter. If you get from the tenant, he's saying that he doesn't plan on continuing because in Tai come in, then it's fine. The Chaim Rabbeinu Geshem, actually, if you look in the Tshuvis, is for an entire year after a person moves out. Because we're afraid that he was thrown out, you know, with this extortion type of a method to try to get a higher price. But the Ramah leaves out that extra halacha, that extra din, they have to wait a year. And the Tshuvis and Masham suggests that maybe Taka, we don't have to wait a year because Ramah doesn't pass like that, but we do have to follow the Ramah, and that is that if he's living there now, you have no right to rent from the landlord unless you prior get permission from the tenant. All right, any questions?
They have an option. Where they're really, the marketer is really asking to get the highest price that he gets. Let's say the first person makes a bid, let's say it's $10, right? So if nobody else goes higher, he'll take that bid. So if somebody else, unless he's only eaten by the auction, somebody else got a lot of raise the bid.
Yes, you're allowed to bid at an auction because the seller wants the higher price. But the evident will take the lowest price, but he's asking for the high price. He was never noches to say, I accept your bid. He really wants the highest price he can get. That's why he put it on auction. So it would be considered like an open deal, and it would not be considered a rasha. If the seller explicitly tells that to the lokeach, then lokeach not only will he save himself from the issue, or save the future buyers, prospective buyers from one of the bechorah, lokeach will save himself from a din of mechusah as well. means until you bring the deposit, I'm not accepting the offer. It's as if you didn't tend any offer, because I'm cautious that the Ma'is Mechayim, people back out, especially when it's rentals, people back out. Unless they put their money where their mouth is, people back out. So if he explicitly says that, then in Echanam, that will be fine.
As a buyer, should you question whether there's somebody else bidding on this house?
You need not suspect that. However, if you have a reason to suspect that, because you heard Mechayim Pagah through a broker or through a neighbor, whatever, that someone's there, yes, then you should. But the fact that you need not suspect that and gives you a right to get in, that doesn't absolve you later on. Because if later on it was in this bar that someone else was there, you're going to have to walk away, or otherwise then you'd be a Rasha.
It's a sign of not getting out.
You don't know that there's another buyer who closed the deal. You don't know that another buyer is seriously negotiating about the thing, that he's up closing the deal.
You have a problem with the renters, with renting, they want you to have an apartment building, an office to take care of it, and you know it's $1,000 a month. So the problem is there, which is the person says, somebody will call up. I mean, I had that situation, I didn't want to go into it, because there are people who know that this person is going to move out. Here the child just went, so therefore they're using that as an excuse. But you know the person's going to move out, and you know the rent is kaf of a kaf. But the office has not accepted the deposit. Until they accept the deposit, it's not yours.
So that's what Ari was suggesting. The Kozman, they don't accept the deposit.
But over here, it's a little more, because there's a piece of film. You know it's $1,000 for Marshall for the month. And the person calls me up and says, if you come by 9:30 tomorrow morning, it's yours. But I know that there were other people who were looking at the apartment, but they knew before me, because somebody wanted.
But you know that they already agreed to buy the apartment? But to rent the apartment?
They're agreeable to take it, because they haven't made a deal with the rental agent.
What? The rental agent hasn't agreed to anybody. The first
guy rolls in with the rent. Right, right. But can the rental agent tell Ruvain, don't come just yet? They're ready to go, and the rental agent will take the $1,000. Because he's doing me a favor, because he knows me. So he's saying, if you come tomorrow by 9:30, I'll take it from you, even though somebody else...
He's only doing a special favor for you, or that's his policy, like Ari suggested. That's until you bring the money, then it's nothing. But besides, you're raising a good point, and I would like to develop that point. There's a truth, I think it's Maram, brought down in the Mordechai in Bamatzia, Taf Yod, which discusses this shaila, and I'll tell you where it's Nageya. If a pisuk is set, it's Yidua. Let's say you're in a store, and you know it says a label, let's say the last box of matzahs is in this store, and you know it's for $2, $1.99 this box of matzahs, and you made up your mind to buy that box, and you're walking towards there, you start walking, just through any mice of Hebrew, starting to go there, yes, if someone else will go ahead and take that box of matzahs, there would be a problem with Anamapa Bukharar. And the reason is because like you said, that case, the Dhamma was already Pasak, the seller wants $1.99, I was masking to buy for the $1.99, and that's already considered Commander Pasak Dhamma. I show you where it's Nagay in real estate, is often in a liquid type of a market, you have where the seller wants to market the house, and he tells the broker, B'chashoy, I'm willing to sell it for $330. So the broker would put up the market for sale at $360, and they figured, and he might get a better deal, or at least, you know, there's only way going to be negotiations, he'll get the $330 that the seller wants. Okadoyma. But the seller told the broker, Lahedya, $330, I'm out, I'm willing to sell at $330. The first person to put the bid in at $330, even if the seller didn't even hear of the offer yet, at that point is going to be on a map of a karara. It was already a piece of dhamma. It was a case of the Mordechai that the seller brought in goods into town, and it was known, it's even more extreme chiddush, it was known from the history of what he markets his kalim for, that it was going to be a good deal. And I'm asking to buy it at that price, whatever the seller wants. At that point, Dr. Mordechai, no one, the seller wasn't aware of it. Dr. Mordechai, it's over, it's already commanded, Pasak Dami, and it's Nikar Rasha. Because between me and the seller, I satisfy the needs of the seller. Which is really the whole, you know, a hibuk really doesn't require the second party. Like I said, by Hefka, you don't need a second party. However, the only reason why you need it is that Tekonas HaMoicha. Vibayt, the Moicha says, I'm satisfied at this price, it's a done deal. If the Moicha says Lahedya, like your case before, says Lahedya, that even though you give me the price, I am choshish that you're not really serious until you bring in the deposit money. So I'm telling you Lahedya, I'm still interested in marketing it somewhere else than in Echanam. It's still an open market because it's the seller who's approaching the next customer. But if the seller tells the broker, he confides with the broker and says, look, at this price I'm willing to sell, the second the broker gets that offer, it's all over. Now it's already commanded, Pasuk Dami, and anyone who comes in, or the broker who aids someone to come in, everybody, the second buyer, the broker, everyone is going to be slapped on, everyone's going to be considered a Rasha.
In his mind already, he was very massive. I don't get anything else. I'm going to take this price.
Right, but now they took the initiative. Now they took, he got the offer 330, he already accepted it, but now he's taking the initiative and saying, even though I already accepted 330, I would like more, if I can get, of course, I'll take 330. He's been crazy on that piece of gum, and b'di'evit he has a piece of gum, but l'chatchila he now decided that he wants more. It's not like l'chatchila that he said, I want the best price, but I'm asking to go through. The second he says, again, let me back up. It's partial that every seller would like $3 million for his house. Everyone would like as much money as he can get. But Lamai says he was masking to that price, and that's the price that he wants to sell. That's his target price. You reach that threshold, he's out. He wants to sell that price. If he got that threshold, and then he decided, you know what, I see the market is strong, I really decide I want more, I'm not willing to sell 330, but the evidence, maybe I'll have to, but please, I would like another buyer to get in, Sanenachami. He took the initiative. The broker can convince him of that, but if he took that initiative, then he's fine.
When
the broker said our market at 340, l'chatchila, before anyone came in, that's fine. That means the broker is giving the seller advice. I have no problem with that. But if they're confided, the seller tells the broker, I want 330. In the marketing techniques, what you got to do to get 330, you got to market it for 350. But I'm asking to 330, and I still mask him to 330. You can market at 350, but I'm asking at 330. He didn't change his threshold. He still wants 330. If he gets the 340, he'll take it. If he gets a million, I'm sure he'll take it too. But he's told the broker, you market it the way you have to market it because that's your business. But I'm asking for 330.
No, the thing it would be is if the seller says, I want 330, you market it at 360 because everybody's going to knock the price down, so you'll get the 330. As soon as you get 330, I'm asking, then that would be the law.
Correct, that's what I'm talking about.
If the seller says, fine, if you're marketing it at 360,
And you get
330, and somebody's going to come and offer you more. I want more, and that's not a piece of government anymore. So that's what you're talking about.
I would be mad at it if the broker, knowing the market, advised the seller that he can get more than 330 for it, and therefore the seller said, yes, I want more than 330, you're right. But if he still wants 330, but the way to market and get that 330 is by making an inflated price, then he's masking for 330. Okay, could we hold on the question? I really want to finish the siman. We have one more sif left, and we're shooting here. Sif Beis. Also, the melamed lahaska atzmo lebalabais sheyesh loy melamed acher bebeisoy im loy sheyem abalabais ein ritzoni lakiv hamelamed sheli. If someone is already employed, he's a tutor, a rebbe, he's already employed, any employment that is, and another employee would like to step in and replace their first employee, that you're going to have a problem. Avonim apu b'karar, because go ahead and go find a different employer to hire you out. I like this employee, he's a nice guy, that's not a heter. Avul, the inverse case, here's a chiddush. Avul m'socha balabais melamed echod, yochel balabais acher, a different father, could now, lisko isa melamed atzma. He's allowed to steal the rebbe away from the first father. What's the reason? And the Taisa and the Rishonim say is because when it comes to limud, when it comes to certain talents and the needs of your child, certain rebbeim are more tugapats for your child that you cannot find somewhere else. This rebbe is unique. His milas are unique that he'll motivate my child like no other rebbe can. And therefore, it's considered a davar shel hefket. It's considered unique, like we saw in the Ramah before. It's considered a davar which is unique that I have a hat. And here's the Nesivus brings a raya that the Mechaba holds like Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Because if you hold like Rashi that unique is not a heter, then here too it should be awesome. In fact, Rabbeinu Tam, the Tosef brings this halacha at the end of his Tosef. If he has a yisoid that hefka is permissible, he says this halacha. So it's a right that not only the Ramah paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, but even the Mechaba paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. Someone suggested, I'm not sure if this is true, suggested that the reason why the Mechaba here doesn't bring down the second day, I mean, you could say he was Samech on the first Sif, but the reason why here he didn't bring down the second day is because Be'etzim, he only brought in the second day for a Baal Nefesh to be Machmir. When it comes to the limit of your child, he wanted to suggest that here there's no inin to be machmir for Baal Nefesh. I could say the faket to svar that when it comes to inin aruchni, you should be more careful not to get it through devious means. But, alright, that was a suggestion. But nevertheless, Mechab is going in Rabbein Tam. Clearly, Rashi himself, this would be awesome. Now, why is it considered unique? L'chaira, we established before two principles. One is, for something to be unique, you have to know for sure you cannot get it somewhere else, even if it's cheaper. Here, probably if you look further, you can take interview a number of Rebbeim. I'm sure if you look another month, you'll find another Rebbe. So Minchas Pita Master Shaila brings in a Mashal, B'Shem HaTosis, suggests a few terutz, and I'll bring out one terutz, and that is, what's considered that you can go somewhere else is kafi ashtega. When it comes to renting houses, it's normal. A person takes time. It could take a month, 2 months. Some people might take 3 months, 5 months, 6 months till he gets his dream home. When it comes to be hiring a teacher for your child, they say that time is of the essence. It's extremely important. People would waste and be mafid and be ma'avid a hoin rav kedei that his child should not be bought or even for shah achas. We have to know if we fit that bill. But if we fit that bill, that means we can't say, okay, wait and interview and search, and for the next 3 weeks your child won't have a tutor. I can't afford my child not having a tutor for 3 weeks. And therefore, that's not an option. That's not an alternative to tell me to go somewhere else. What's on the table now, of the Rebbeim that I know of, this Rebbe is the most talented and most unique for my child. And therefore, I have this heta of hefka. And we said before, we brought down the Binyamin Zev in the Truma Zadashim that says that even by homes, a 5-bedroom, 6-bedroom is not considered unique enough. You have to tie in, if I say that from a Rebbe, we're talking about something which is very important, that even the darkest Tikachilik makes a difference. But it's clearly only with its excuse. The excuse is only that I'm saying that for me, I think that he is the superstar Rebbe that's going to motivate my child. If I don't think that, but it's the easier way, obviously I'm not going to have this hetter. I like to theorize with Advar Agoda. We now finished Anim Rabbi B'Chorora, and basically through the last year and a half we finished the Nyonim that we're going to concentrate on Hilchos Anom Me'Katoyes that the Chofetz Chaim said that you should do when you're in business, which is from Reish Chav Zayin through Reish Mem, whatever it is, but we concentrate, we focus on the main simonim of these Nyonim. I think it's an accomplishment in itself, and I think everyone here deserves credit. We see in Anim Rabbi B'Chorora, we see a Yisoid that when you're being mishtadel to get something, you're striving for something, you have schusim in it as if you already got it, that prevents other people from getting in there. And I would like to apply it to a Dover Ruchni as well. Klai Yisrael has four Yimayis, yet Rachel, more so than the rest, was zeicha to a special endearment called Mama Rachel. Vasabesh, she was Mama Rachel more so than Sarah Rivka and Leah. L'chaira, Sarah and Rivka were the mother or grandmother of Gans Klai Yisrael. Leah was the mother of half of Klai Yisrael. Rachel was only the mother of 1/6 of Klai Yisrael, 2 out of 12 Shratim. Why then did she have the title of Mama Rachel? In terms of Ashkafa, in terms of rearing the children, influencing the children, Leah, besides rearing her own 6 children, probably even reared Zilpah's children. So for that, in that respect, she was the mother of 2/3 of Klai Yisrael. Roshenkin Rachel didn't even rear her own children. Nebuch, she was Nefteris with Binyamin in childbirth, so she didn't raise him Baklal. And even Yosef, when she was Nefteris, Yosef was a young child, maybe 7 years old. In fact, the king of the Chalayim of the Yereach, Chazal say, referred to Bila because Bila raised Yosef. Vaistais, Rachel wasn't even considered the rearing mother of anyone in Klai Yisrael. So Vasab, that she should have the title, Mama Rachel. Another point to consider, it's very ironic, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Mesaviv Kol HaSivos, made it that Leah was buried in Maris HaMachpelah and Rachel, on the other hand, was buried in Beis Lachem. Why? Leah was together with Yaakov Avinu forever, eternally. And Rachel was a Chazal to be Mavakal Banah. L'chayitz Faked. Leah, the mother of Klai Yisrael, should be Mavakal Banah in Beis Lachem. And Rachel, who is the Ikeres Abayi, should be together with Yaakov Avinu in Maris HaMachpelah. Halamai, it's apparent that what a person is has nothing to do with his achievements and his successes. That's Biyad Rabbeinu Shel Olam. What a person is rate, how to rate somebody. You want to know who you are? Zil Basa the Makshava. What your yeshivas are. So the yeshivas of the person is the person. 15 years ago, I was in Ezra's Torah. It was about Yom HaNeroim time. I was zeicha to hear a powerful drasha from the master Magid of Shom Shadron Zatzal. And he was married the following point. When it comes Yom Kippur, Lo Yom Kippur, you just rest your face by the Suzas and Masekis, you roll into Shul later Kol Nidre perhaps, or even at least later to Vila Zaka. Comes Maariv shortly thereafter, you stuff your face, your mamish abos of Adam, you say Baruch Shem out loud, why? Because you're a Malach. Moitzo Yom Kippur, if the day of Tshuva, if the day of Tfilah, if the day of Charata, if the day of tears, Matzah Yom Kippur, when you truly the Malach, 25 hours of Inuyim, V'yisei Baruch Shem, quietly. You're a boss of Adam. L'chayitz faket. Lo Yom Kippur, you're the boss of Adam, you should say it quietly. Matzah Yom Kippur, when you taka this Malach, when you taka the tshuva, then you should say Baruch Shem out loud, like a Malach. Tzakov Shalom, I'll tell you pshat. Lo Yom Kippur, it's true you're a boss of Adam, but what's your makshava? Your makshava is focused on tefillah and tshuva for the next 24 hours. I'm going to make it. I'm going to move heavens. I'm going to do tshuva. I'm going to get closer to Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm going to change. You want to change? You're a malach. Motzei Yom Kippur, what's your makshava? Your makshava is boss of Adam, dekha makshava is. Comes time to Ma'ariv. When is the chazan going to finish Ma'ariv? Will the Havdalah be ready on time? What will I break my fast on? Makshav is a boss of Adam. Ah, you're thinking a boss of Adam, you're a boss of Adam. It calls with boss of Makshav. When your Makshav is Himmel Dikum Makshav is Malachim Dikum Makshav is, you're a Malach. When your Makshav is boss of Adam Dikum Makshav is, you're a boss of Adam. Leyu Menu, her she'ifas was to have Yaakov as a husband. Every single child she named after her relationship with Yaakov, whether it's Rosh and Bonyi, was by Reuben, by Shimon, Shama Hashem, Kisnua, Noiki, Levi, Apam, Yulav, Ishi, etc. Yisachar is also the Zeh Schari. One by one, her children, even God, Bog God, is a Begida and Baila. Each one was in relation with her husband. Her Shivas was with her husband to have Yaakov next to her, and she was Zeka Taka for eternally to have Yaakov next to Namaris and Machpelah. Rachel and Mena, on the other hand, what were her Shivas? Her Shivas Beika were, from her names of her children, we see that every single child was her relationship with her children. The Bnei Ashivka, the Nani Hashem, Shom Hashem Bekoyle V'itin Li Ben, Naftali's Naftalti, Machoisi Liskois Labonim, Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher, even Ben Oini, Ben Yomin, Ben Oini. Her relationship was for her children, her shivas were for her children. Her shivas were for her children, then she is a mother. If someone who can cry and be mavaka obaneh b'chayah, then internally she's going to be a mavaka obaneh. That is a mama. What a person strives to attain, what a person's shivas are, that's who he truly is. Baruch Hashem, the Olam has come. We're not the end of Chayshu Mishpat, we're not the beginning of the end, but we're the end of the beginning. From Baruch Hashem, based on the display here, we see that the many people have the shivas to fear business properly, to fear the anhaga of day-to-day properly, al-pi ha-Torah, the al-pi ha-Halacha. And even if we're not there yet, and we don't know the whole Chayshu Mishpat, but the fact that we have these shi'ifis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should view it as if we are, that's who we are, people who are Mekayim Chayshu Mishpat. And with this chus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring the Gula B'mehir V'yameinu Amen.
For other tapes by Rabbi Kahan, or for additional information, please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.